Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Help in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is a king. His realm is a kingdom. It starts in heaven. We bring it to earth. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings, and he rules over the kings of the earth. We translate that as a few select people who have privilege to build their earthly kingdoms. What Jesus interprets is that every one of his kids are sons and daughters, princesses and princes who are here to rule and reign and serve humanity well. It is our privilege to serve like Jesus. It's our privilege to walk in our ways of royalty. I want to talk to you about ways of royalty because there's aspects that you came in with that aren't royalty, but you're going to get a vision of what royalty is. Royalty is not entitlement. The government owes you nothing because Jesus paid it all for you. The government is established on his shoulders, not on the backs and the sweat of people to entitle government. This isn't a political message. This is just the kingdom message, and we need to understand the ways of royalty. We need government, but we need to understand his ways of royalty and the way he governs. Amen? That's my opening shot. We've been in a series, believe it or not, part two. Last week, we started a series called Kings and Priests. Understand that you are a king and a queen in Christ. You may not feel like one. You may look at your bankroll and say, it doesn't look like one. You may look at your lifestyle and go, I don't act like one. It's something that we need to understand, that royalty isn't something we do, it's who we are. For 7 years, as I mentioned last week, I've been impressed of the Lord that in every message I preach, I interweave into that conversation with you this idea that you're valuable. It is a travesty for a pastor to watch people come week in, week out, and say and do the exact opposite of what he says they really are. It's an absolute travesty. It breaks my heart sometimes, which is why I've been praying the last two to 3 weeks in here behind your back lovingly. Amen. Because here's what I'm learning. My prayers for you are effective, and because I'm a righteous man and you are a righteous man and woman, because we are righteous, my prayers are effective, and I can get more accomplished behind your back on my knees than in a 29 and a half minute message on Sunday. Because I'm royalty. See, here's what I'm betting. I'm betting in the next 28 and a half minutes that you're going to get a profound grace dropped on you that will help you accomplish far more as kings and queens and daughters of the Lord than I could ever do in giving you great information on Sunday. It means you need to listen with the wisdom of heaven and not with the carnality of the carnal mind. I want to violate your mind to see what he says about you this morning. Who's excited about that? Amen. So last week, we've reversed the order. I don't have time to preach the message, but we talked about kings and priests, and I was going to preach on kings first, and the Lord said, no, consecrate yourself. Tell them to consecrate themselves. Get on your knees and begin to intercede as a priest, because we're all priests in Christ. The Bible says that priesthood of all believers, it's not a title. It doesn't mean everybody's a pastor. What it means is that we are gatekeepers from heaven to earth, and we can broker his realities into this one, and when we contend for what the Bible says who we are and what we can do, we bring it here. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked to you about the priesthood and setting aside, being a set apart people. So that's where I want to start right now. I want to read the same scriptures I read last week. And I read them in context, 1 Peter 2:9, Romans 8:17, and Revelation 1:5 and 6. And it says, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is, all that he is, all that he is, and all that he has. All that he is, and all that he has, and has made us, us, kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Notice I didn't scrimp on the all that he is, all that he has. Because a poverty mindset wants me to believe that I'm pathetic. And it wants you to believe that you're pathetic. And there's ways of royalty that we can learn through the Bible. And I'm going to focus on Solomon in just a second. But it's not just this ways of royalty in the context of, as Pastor Dennis said, just giving. I don't want to cheapen this to a dollars and cents message. I want to preach to you about the fact that your identity is wrapped up in generosity. It's not that you become generous. Are you kidding me? In him, you already are. Royalty is your identity, and a part of your identity is generosity. You cannot separate the two. Your actions may violate your identity, but your actions can also come into alignment with who he says you are. Churches prophesy over congregations that they're stingy. What do they become? Now do you see why I first declare and then expect and then we manifest? So here's what I'm asking you to do. This is not just a, this isn't just a feel good, like, this isn't just a pep rally. What the Lord is doing, and he did it last week, is that some messages I preach are obviously for information so that you can take away, and there's a takeaway and a how and all of that, and that's great. That comes with a prophetic edge. Let me flip that this morning. This is a prophetic now word for you right now, for you to apprehend and steward right now, that happens to have information. So let me put it to you this way. It's a prophetic punch to you so that you steward it and take the grace that's about to release right now. It's not just information, guys. It's impartation. Ways of royalty. Let me give you a context of what I mean. Years ago, there was an evangelist. Her name was Catherine Coleman. She had a dad. His name was Joe Coleman. And before she began her journey into the kingdom and began to bring healing, deliverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit wherever she went, she was trained by her dad in the ways of royalty. Joe was a mayor. He was a mayor. And Catherine recalls that one day she was walking to the meat market in Missouri with her dad. And as they were about to enter the door, this man comes who the town had labeled the town drunk, stumbles and bumbles his way to the door. And he shoves Joe Coleman right out of the way, throwing obscenities and all kinds of things. Get out of my way. Joe Coleman opens the door. A man inside the store looks at Joe Coleman and says, "Are you gonna let him get away with that?" And Joe Coleman, as Catherine Coleman says it, took a step back with compassion in his eyes, looked him straight in the eyes and said, "I can afford it." I can afford to let him go first. I can use who he says I am. And I can take it. I don't need that to prove anything. See, there's something in us. We're never more kingly than when we can say, like Jesus, "I can afford it." Ways of royalty. It doesn't mean we don't contend with injustice. Jesus did on the cross. He absolutely did.
It's a mindset that wants to go after that's self-protection, that's self-exaltation, that is self-promotion. And the ways of the kingdom are opposite. It's an upside-down kingdom. And what happens is when we hear a message on generosity over the ages, we marry it to our pocketbook. Let me tell you, don't cheapen your thought process by marrying generosity to just dollars and cents. Don't cheapen yourself. Don't stoop to that. And don't listen for that. When an offering comes, I can tell you, I remember there was a time until the Lord settled the issue of honor in my life. Until he said, settled the issue. The first time when I came back to Jesus, the pastor talked about generosity and giving and all of that. And coming from my background, I was so angry every time I heard him say that. And I got so mad, I came back the next week. The Lord settled the issue, and for 18 years straight, I've given the Lord tithes and offerings, and never once out of obligation. Why? Because I understood the ways of the kingdom. I'm not talking to you about tithing today. That's for another day. What I'm talking to you about is the ways of royalty. See, we can't separate the way I open a door for someone, the way that I allow others to go first, the way that I sow into a church, the way I do. These are aspects of the kingdom. We try to emphasize one over the other. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there are things that we do that are less than royalty, but God is restoring honor to his church. He's restoring honor. For every headline that says there's something happening dishonorably, I speak and declare the exact opposite over who the bride says they are. When I hear headlines that say another pastor falls, I say another pastor restored. It's ways of honor. It's shattering the poverty mindset over all of us. I had a pastor years ago. He said he's no longer in this area. But he said years ago, he said, Ryan, this whole area here, he was decreeing it over this area here. He said, this whole area here, every time anything or anyone rises to the top, all they want to do is tear everybody down so that everybody comes back to the middle. And I said, well, that's not my goal. My goal is to show them how awesome he is and how awesome they are, and they can do all things in Christ. We're breaking every label, lid, and limitation. That's what I'm decreeing over our church. Because we're going to model Jesus, not what earthly kings amass or do. There's a scripture in 1 Kings, and I feel like this is a blueprint. It's an archetype of what we could do. What we could do, what would it be like, is the question. In the aspect of Solomon, if you study Solomon's life, and you can go on your own this week and read in 1 Kings, you can also read in 2 Chronicles. There's just a tremendous amount of wealth over the life of Solomon. He was raised by David in the ways of royalty. David didn't have that luxury. David contended for things and set his inheritance to Solomon, and Solomon took it to another level. And what we see in Scripture is the people responding to Solomon. It wasn't that Solomon got rich at the expense of the people. The Bible says that the people were so prosperous, no joke, that literally silver was in the streets as common. Now take that concept of how people are empowered under the safety and protection of good government. Safety and protection is what government does. It's supposed to protect and then empower people to thrive. That's the nature of good government. In anything, in a home life, at our homes, in churches, in businesses, wherever, good government brings safety and protection and empowerment. We see one aspect of Solomon's life there as it pertains to financial resource. How much more for words of encouragement stewarded at the same level? What would it be like to live in a city where it's dripping with encouragement everywhere you go, where the whole city is overflowing with encouragement? What would it be like to live in a city where the hospitals are so perplexed because heaven invaded earth that they literally have to change the way they function as doctors because it's now more proactive instead of reactive? Not saying we never need doctors, we do need them, but what I'm saying is that we're just actually a healthier city. Here's what I want to contend for. If we learn the ways of royalty in a greenhouse, we create ecosystems out there as kings and priests, praying it down and doing the work of the ministry in a greenhouse, learning his ways, and we transform culture just like that. And if you're waiting for King Jesus to come back and just do it all for us, you've got the wrong theology. Because you're abdicating it to a reign which he said, I want you to bring my world to this world right now because people don't know me. Are you with me so far? Just thinking it through, if we don't challenge this thought process, we'll become lazy in what we do. Royalty is not lazy. Was Jesus lazy? He could have sat on his king's laurels and done nothing, but he was so moved by compassion and out of honor for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, out of honor for himself, for the Holy Spirit and the Father, he said, I will go and I will come and I will go in a manger and I will lay my life down. I will come and come as the lowest of the low so that I can empower and bring who I am to this world. No matter where you start does not tell the end of the story. It's how you finish, and you need to know that you're royalty. Solomon had an atmosphere, a greenhouse that he was raised in. So I want you to just real briefly read this scripture here, 1 Kings 10, verse 13. It says, now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. It also has a word in another translation, it's called bounty. Royal bounty, a royal generosity. See, this is a lifestyle. There's when we're sacrificial, and I'm just going to speak to resource right now, but I think it's a bigger message than just financial resource. So for instance, your tithes and offerings fund the work of the ministry here. That's why we're able to have screens, technology, pay staff salaries, all that. That's what tithes do. Offerings like missions help bring the work of the ministry overseas, both local, nationally, internationally. And those are offerings. There's a different type of offering for alms to the poor, which is amazing. We need to do that. But there is an honor of kings and a generosity among kings that's described there, where Solomon, out of his wealth, gave to Sheba, to her, and out of her wealth, she gave to him. And it's this wealth of kings. It's this honor mindset. It's sowing into something because the core values of the kingdom honors excellence. Everyone in here knows the injustice of poverty. We understand that. The Lord uses money to teach us a greater lesson. He uses money to help us honor other people. One of the ways you can honor people, have you ever seen someone who has everything? Who has everything, financial resource. When you give that person a gift, they often melt like wax before the Lord. Why? Because they're so used to giving and not receiving. Train givers into teaching them how to receive. That's why there needs to be honor among kings. Are you with me? Moms and dads know this. When I give out of the wealth of what God has given me to my children and they give me a gift, I am a puddle. And in that greenhouse, it's caught more than it's taught. We begin to model what he shows us. There is this grace that comes. Here's what I've found. Almost in every area of my life where there's been dramatic change in my thought processes and lifestyle, in almost every case, a grace hit me first and then it enabled me to act it out. I'm going to show you something in scripture here that's profound. Because when I talk about ways of royalty, and in particular, modeling generosity, I want to say it for the third time. Don't cheapen this message to a dollars and cents message. This is a comprehensive lifestyle of generosity. It's going through Starbucks and watching person after person behind you that you paid the bill for in advance, and watching in certain environments where I've been, they've had that going for 3 to 5 hours, paying ahead for someone behind. It's It's learning the whispers of God and violating something in you. Often the times there's these pauper mindsets that we come because I need to withhold and self-protect. So therefore I can't give encouragement because I'm so partnering with an orphan poverty spirit that to give someone else encouragement would be a threat to my identity. So I can't encourage other people. I can't be generous with my words. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Are you tracking? We can't divorce generosity from any of these other areas. It's learning the ways of. See, Solomon was steeped in this by David. Solomon, that's not who you are. This is who you are. We don't steal. That's not who you are. You're a generous person. We don't slander and gossip. That's not who you are. We empower. We don't do that. Are you tracking? You're not what you do. You are who he says you are. And as he trains you in these areas, you're going to learn his ways. And if you notice the life of Jesus, he really didn't check with other people their opinion on what the Father was saying. He began to hear God. He heard God for himself. He modeled something to us that I think we can all learn from, and that is this. Anything that we have to check before we check with Jesus, that's an idol, my friends. This is a sidebar note, but God's been talking in our time of consecration about alignment for the assignment. We had it in our heart because of our vision and who we are. We wanted to have a big give this Christmas. But because of a number of factors that I don't have time to get into, we as a team prayed into and decided because of the objectives that the Father wants us to do right now, we could not do that this Christmas. I didn't check with everybody to make sure that was okay. I partnered with what heaven said, which said push it off to the spring of 2020. A good thing in the wrong season can devastate your environment. Learning the ways of royalty and understanding that had I partnered with a good thing, which seems generous, would have actually torpedoed our staff. And our staff goes, amen. Why? Because God has a process and an order. We have to learn the ways of royalty. We learn that we're kings and priests. And priests intercede and get the mind of God and broker it. Sometimes it takes courage to say no. That's a way of royalty. So in this process, what I see for us is this next scripture I'm going to close with. And I want to read it. It was Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians to the Corinthians about the Macedonian church. And here's what I'm asking you to this week do when you go back and read this passage. So what I'm saying is this week, go back and read this passage. Your homework assignment is to go back and read this passage. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Paul is speaking to this Macedonian church, and they have basically said his heart was to bring generosity, royal generosity, to the Judean church, which was in persecution and under tremendous pressure and financial problems. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians about a normal collection that they take for those saints. And we start with verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make you known the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy, we talked about that in worship, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality, generosity. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord first and then to us by the will of God. Skip down to verse 7. But just as you abound in everything, not just finances and generosity, but as you abound in everything, in faith as you abound, in utterance and knowledge as you abound, in all earnestness you abound, and in the the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. Couple of quick things that I want to do before I show you this closing video. I want to point out there's several key phrases in here that is what God is doing in our church right now. It says that the grace of God given to the churches of Macedonia, they were extremely poor. But what that context says is that a literal wave of grace hit that church so hard, they got so pregnant that they were literally begging Paul to meet the need of other people who were just as impoverished in another place missionally, even despite the fact that they were under their own stress. That, my friends, are supernatural ways of royalty. How many know that doesn't happen all the time? It's an uncommon grace. Then it says they gave beyond their ability, begging the pastors. All I can say is that's a good day if you're a pastor, if the people are begging you to give to the collection. Something hit them. I'll tell you what, it was extreme gratitude. I'm willing to bet that they caught the heart of God. They were consecrated. They gave their lives to the Lord first. See, this is what happens is, it says they gave their lives to the Lord first and to each other and to the church. What happens is people want to separate that, but they gave themselves to the Lord. And they got the revelation that we work, we do, and we give as royalty unto the Lord, not unto man. And then once you get that revelation, then you can give to man. Does that make sense? Well, I don't like how they spend this or they do that. Well, good thing you're checking with the Lord first. These mindsets in royalty, these mindsets. You've heard the thought process. Like, if you have everybody's the boss, then nobody's the boss. If everybody's the leader, nope. Are you alive? Paul commends them in the scripture, in our Bibles. He says, we first want to commend them. Look at their model, Corinthians. Look what they're doing. It says they gave to the Lord and they gave to us to entrust us for the collection of the saints. Translation, generosity in a greenhouse, comprehensively, not just dollars and cents, but comprehensively, you're sowing into the fact that you're going to work under the Lord first. That means when we ask you to do things and serve and consecrate yourself to things in this greenhouse, it means that we're going somewhere and he's going somewhere, and there's a grace that's supernaturally poured out on all of us to do things far beyond what we could imagine, but we have to get into alignment with what the leaders are saying and what the Father is doing. That means everyone and every person for themselves who wants to do everything for their ministry first needs to die so we find out what he's doing first. That wasn't in my notes. It's about laying down our agendas for his. Does that make sense? And your job is to pray and intercede for the leaders to make sure that they capture the heart of God and we create this greenhouse, these ways of royalty. See, bottom line is, we're going to have to be generous with our time, our talents, and our resources in strategic ways in 2020 to be able to accomplish the thing that I preach every week that says we are. We're royalty, and it's time we act like it. I want to show you this video because the Lord he's using finances, but again, for the fourth time, I want to say, this isn't a finance message. This is a generosity and a grace hitting our church message with a prophetic edge. It's saying God is dropping this grace literally in our house right now. And to prove it, I want to show you a testimony on tape from a precious couple, Amy and Evan Pfeiffer, and what God did in their home group. Can we show that?
So about 4 years ago, Evan and I moved from Arizona to California so that I could attend Bethel's ministry school. At that time, we decided to sell our second vehicle to help pay off tuition. And then after ministry school, we came here to Green Bay, still with one vehicle, and we were doing just fine sharing a vehicle until about a year ago. We had our second child. Evan started nursing school, and he was working. So I was at home a lot with both kids and no vehicle. So I decided to start believing that God wanted to bless us with another car. We weren't in a financial place to buy one, but we started really praying and including other people to join us in prayer in receiving a car. And we also were reading testimonies of people receiving cars themselves just to help faith arise in us.
So last month, we were doing home group, and I heard the Lord say, "You've entered into a new season." And I heard the Lord say, "It's the season of taste and see that the Lord is good." So I'm sharing this word with the home group, and I said, "I feel like it's going to be marked with manifestations of the goodness of God, and he's going to demonstrate his love through his benevolence and kindness towards us." And as I was sharing the word, I started looking at the eyes of all the group, and they're all grinning, and I was thinking, what's going on? And at the end of that word, they said, "We have something for you," and they presented us with a card. And as we opened the card, we found a check in there, and it was a check for a new car. And Amy and I, we just looked at each other, and we were speechless. We were just so overwhelmed with his goodness and the love that our community poured into us in that moment. And I felt like this is just the beginning of God showing us the extent of his goodness towards us, especially through the community that God plants us in, and that they, out of the limited resources that they even had, rallied together to really bless us with a new car. And so I just want to release that as a prophetic word, that if you're pressing into something that you need, that God's goodness is going to be manifest during this time in your life.
Amen. Would you stand? We're going to close. Ministry team, come forward. I want to say this. I was going to preach this message last week. Evan and Amy, Evan was out of town, couldn't be here, so we taped it. I was going to preach it last week. But in so doing, before I even played that, I found out two other testimonies behind the scenes. I don't know if Josh is... Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't mention. Josh got hit by something. You can ask him. Behind the scenes, got a blessing, completely unprovoked. I had another person, another leader in our environment, out of the blue, people unprovoked, just out of the generosity of kings. Evan and Amy receiving generosity as kings and queens. Can I tell you, it has nothing to do with your bankroll. It has everything to do with his. We are having a grace that is being able to receive compliments. When someone compliments you, a way of royalty is to say, "Here it is, wait for it, thank you. Well done. Well, it's all Jesus." Well, if it was, it would be better. You had a role to play in it too, just accepting a compliment. How many of you struggle in front of everybody? How many of you struggle receiving a compliment? Ways of royalty gives and receives. We want to create a greenhouse that challenges the thought process of the world, and that pastor who told me that bunch of nonsense, we're elevated to serve humanity well with our time, our talents, and our treasures, and we do so in alignment. There was order in Paul's apostolic leadership. There was order there, and there was freedom. What I love about Evan and Amy is that didn't come through the leadership of the church. That were people giving honor as kings and queens to other kings and queens. It was an honor gift. Take that in every area of your life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to pray over you right now. I want you to see yourself as the widow, the widow's mite. I want you to picture in your mind's eye Jesus watching you. She didn't confer with any idol on how to be generous. The Bible says that Jesus marveled at her generosity as she dropped the... That's extreme royal generosity. She had nothing, she gave it all. The alabaster jar, Jesus marveled as this woman gave a year's wages out of extreme royal generosity. Why? Because her mindset said, "I can afford it. I can afford it. I can afford it."
When Agabus in the New Testament prophesied that an earthquake would hit the entire, and that there would be financial devastation, his first response with them was to send a collection to other people, even though they would be affected by that same thing. That's supernatural, folks. That's who we are. There's no way to explain that logically. And so, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I release extreme encouragement over our people to everyone. They are generous with their words. When people act undignified and non-kingly, there's a grace that they have that can allow that person not to enable, but not to partner with that self-protection or self-promotion or self-preservation or whatever it is. That no, I can afford that. I can let that person in traffic go ahead of me even though they're in a hurry. I can afford it. Because we partner with the Prince of Peace. Father, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know Jesus and his ways of royalty and how valuable they are, if they don't know that Jesus came as a little baby in a manger in the most undignified of places, that all of heaven's dignity came into a place that was less than dignified, and he brought heaven's resource, empowerment, and love and power to this world to die on a cross for the sins of the world to show us that we are kings and queens. If they don't know that Jesus, I pray that they do, and they pray with people here at the altar after the service closed. And Father, I say yes to the prophetic decree that we are generous and that the manifestation of generosity will go well beyond financial resource. It's a part of it. It's not the full story. I can because God says is bigger than I can't and I won't. I believe by faith and I'm decreeing that people will give their time, talents, and resources to the right things and say no to the wrong things in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We're done. If you need prayer, come up here. And don't forget Wednesday night, worship night. It's going to be fun. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.